The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as peoples rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And the second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Amen. Well, thank you to our readers. Thank you, Wendy. And good morning and Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask who had written their letter to Father Christmas, but I think we might almost have grown out of that just looking round. So instead of that, who has faced the dreaded six-word question in the last couple of months? What do you want for Christmas? Yes. It fills my heart with, not joy, dread. Because inevitably the answer is, well, nothing. Or the other thing, which I always ask for, is peace and quiet. If you listen to the radio, you will not have escaped the Christmas songs. And of course, and actually as we were driving down to church this morning, what should come on but the old favourite, Mariah Carey. All I want for Christmas is you. If you're a bit older, You may remember Spike Jones in his City Slickers, who sung that all they wanted for Christmas was their two front teeth, an old children's favourite. And if you're a little bit older than that, possibly, you may remember Gayla Peavy singing a personal favourite of mine, which is, "I want a hippopotamus for Christmas." If you search on the internet, the top five things that I found that came up: all I want for Christmas is a boyfriend, all I want for Christmas is a self-cleaning house, all I want for Christmas is an aeroplane ticket, all I want for Christmas is my friends to be happy and healthy, and all I want for Christmas is you, oh, and pizza. And in the run-up to Christmas, there's always this sort of gathering frenzy, isn't it? A dash for the best present, a dash for the must-have toy, a dash for the Christmas number one single, a dash for the perfect Christmas. But we're never satisfied, are we? And that, I think, is epitomised for me by something I read in the paper last week, that according to surveys, an estimated £1 billion will be spent today on online shopping. £1 billion spent today, Christmas Day. And yet here we are in an oasis of peace. The frenzy is behind us. And I don't know about you, but I won't be contributing anything to the £1 billion that is spent online today. You're going to be doing your Christmas shopping? No, you're not. Good. I know that Tessa will start her Christmas shopping in the sales tomorrow, but she won't be doing it today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "Christianity preaches the infinite worth of that which is seemingly worthless, and the infinite worthlessness of that which is seemingly so valued." And as we come today, the baby in the manger, which to so many people is worthless, but is in fact of infinite worth. One of the Tessa's Bible readings this week came up with this quote. I don't know who said it, but this quote: "The hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. The hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable." And I wonder what our part in that history might be. Just thinking about the Christmas story that we've heard, there was the innkeeper who, although he didn't have room in the inn, made room in the stable, offered that little bit of space. In the stable, there were probably animals, passive observers. Is that what we are to the Christmas story? Are we just passive observers? Or are we shepherds who, although afraid to begin with, were joyful and spread the word? Maybe we were like the angels who sang God's glory from the heavens, spread the word to the shepherds. Or maybe we are like Mary, treasuring these things up in our heart, wondering what they mean. Obviously, for Mary, it was revealed, but she treasured them up, as we heard in our reading this morning. Or maybe we're like Joseph, selflessly obedient to God's word, to God's command, going against all that his culture, his instinct told him to do. Maybe we're like the wise men. We didn't hear about them today, but they went to great lengths, didn't they, to get to know Christ. I don't imagine there are too many people here who are like Herod, who was threatened by Jesus' birth. And there is, of course, a great number of people who are like the other people in Bethlehem that night, who were oblivious to what was going on in the stable. I was horrified, I have to say, to read or to see a 2017 survey which revealed that 20% of British people don't know what we celebrate today. 20% don't know. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. If you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with M&S. Some friends of ours sent us a Christmas card, and in it they wrote, "It's not what is under the Christmas tree that matters, but the people who are around it." And what a lovely thought. And so let's make sure that Christ is round the Christmas tree with us today. And if you want to keep Christ in Christmas, not just today, but through 2019 and beyond, there are certain things we need to do. We need to feed the hungry. We need to clothe the naked. We need to forgive the guilty. We need to welcome the unwanted. We need to care for the ill, the elderly, the infirm. We need to love our enemies. We need to love the unlovable. We need to love one another. And we need to spread the word. I read this week that generosity tends to breed generosity. And I think for a lot of people that is possibly a motivation at Christmas. Give more to receive more. But just thinking for a moment about God's gift to us today. The baby in the manger, God's Son given for us, our Saviour. How can we respond to such generosity? What does God want for Christmas? It's simple, really.